Support for KPLU's Studio Sessions comes from People's Bank, working with businesses and families to achieve their financial goals since 1921. People's Bank provides personal banking, business services, and home lending from 25 Western Washington locations. Info at peoplesbank-wa.com. People's Bank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Trumpet player Terrell Stafford's in town this weekend working with the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra. Mr. Stafford is the director of jazz studies at Temple University in Philadelphia. He's also worked with the Juilliard School, Lincoln Center's Essentially Ellington program. He owns a degree in classical trumpet, but he's been playing jazz for more than two decades with top players like Benny Golson, Bobby Watson, McCoy Tyner, Shirley Scott, and many more. His latest album is last year's wonderful tribute to trumpet giant Lee Morgan called Brother Lee Love. Live in the studios today, he's joined by pianist Randy Halberstadt, Phil Sparks on bass. Please welcome Terrell Stafford. Terrell Stafford on the trumpet, live in the studios at KPLU. That's Randy Halberstadt at the piano. Phil Sparks over there on bass. Terrell, wonderful to have you here today. I would love to talk about how you got started on the trumpet. And I understand there's kind of a funny story. It was the forbidden horn in the house, or grandma's house, I guess.
It was. It was the forbidden fruit that was hidden in the closet that I was not allowed to touch. But, you know, that's the worst thing you could tell a young kid is don't go in the closet and touch that trumpet. You know?
Right.
So as soon as she was out, my grandparents lived on a farm. As soon as they went out to round up some eggs and milk some cows, I went in the closet. And I found the trumpet, and I started to play it, and I got back to school. And I told the folks I wanted to play trumpet. And they said, you can't play trumpet. You're too young for trumpet. So you have to start with a stringed instrument. So I started with the viola. And that lasted for a good 2 months. My viola teacher used to hit my fingers every time I play. So there was one lesson I came in, my fingers were bruised. I said, I'm not going to take it today. So this viola instructor reared back to hit my fingers, and I only wanted to block his bow, but I hit him in the face, cracked his glasses. They suspended me from school. He told my parents, Terrell has no musical talent whatsoever. Keep him as far away from music as humanly possible. So they suspended me for music for a year, and then finally in sixth grade, I got to pick up the trumpet, and that was the joy of my life.
Right. I guess your first love, genre-wise, you're actually playing a lot of classical music, went on to study a lot of classical music in college, and I wonder if you still today think about some of the lessons you took from learning classical music when you're playing jazz.
Every day, yeah. You know, every day, because I guess, you know, when it comes to classical music, the thing that's really great is the foundation and the fundamentals you learn on the instrument, you know. It teaches you to use air properly and articulation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So every day my warm-up is pretty much bass on classical music, and I shouldn't say that, I should just say fundamentals. So I work on fundamentals every day, and then from there, you know, it helps you to tell the story that you want to tell when it comes to playing jazz.
Right. You've had a lot of great mentors when you were coming up as a young player. One of them was pianist Kenny Barron, who's one of my favorites, and he encouraged you to play jazz along with classical, and that led to, I understand, a kind of a secret tour. A jazz tour that you weren't supposed to be on. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. Well, with Kenny Barron, my trumpet teacher, who wanted me just to, his goal for me was for me to play in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't want to hear that you play jazz at all. So I went to Kenny Barron. I said, I really want to learn how to play jazz. And Kenny Barron says, if Professor Fielder finds out, he's going to kill us both. Don't you tell anyone. So I went to his studio, and he showed me some voicings, and he gave me some recordings to listen to. And he says, go transcribe all this and come back. So I did it, and I came back, and he goes, wow. He goes, now the only thing that's left is you got to play with people. So find a jam session to play. And he goes, and if you learn X and X and X and this, I'll have a gig for you, which he did. He hired me to play one night with him at Bradley's. Mm-hmm. So some time had passed, and actually Bobby Watson, I met him at this jam session, and Bobby says, I really want you to go out on the road with my group. And I said, okay, well, the problem is that I have to finish my master's thesis, and if I don't finish that, I don't get a degree. And he goes, well, it's either between your degree or going on the road. So I thought about it. I said, I'm going on the road. So I went to my professor, the dean of the college, and I said, Dean, I'm going to be going out on the road with a chamber ensemble, because I was a classical major, and they didn't allow you to go out on the road with a jazz group. So he's like, well, Terrell, what can I say? I'm just proud of you. And he said, he goes, what's the name of the group? I said, it's the Robert Watson Chamber Ensemble. And so he goes, this is phenomenal. The school is going to be so proud of you. He goes, don't worry about your recital, your conference exams. When you come back from this tour, you can do it then. We're just proud of you. Just make a good name for, you know, the university. And I went out on the road, and the very first day we were out on the road, we took this picture in the middle of this railroad yard. I was like, okay, this is kind of strange. Take this picture. I didn't think anything of it. So fall comes around. I go back to school to finish up my degree, and there's a note in my mailbox from the dean that says, come see me, you know, as soon as possible. So I go to his office, and he goes, so, Terrell, how was that tour with the Robert Watson Chamber Ensemble? I said, well, Dean, it was phenomenal. He goes, well, what kind of venues did you guys play? I said, you know, typical chamber ensemble venues, you know, some churches, some concert halls. He goes, what was the instrumentation of that group? I said, well, it had some brass, it had woodwinds, it had strings and percussion. Typical chamber ensemble. He goes, well, let me ask you this. And he slides this piece of paper, and it said, Bobby Watson Burns on the cover of Downbeat magazine. And it says, he goes, is this the Robert Watson Chamber Ensemble you were referring to? I said, yep. He goes, well, you're suspended on academic probation. You know, you're on academic probation for a year. And he goes, maybe after that you can think about this little fib you told and come back and finish your degree. So
Terrell Stafford is live at our studios, and in the next break, we're going to talk about how that led to a career in education. And we're also going to talk about the new record, Brother Lee Love, his Lee Morgan tribute. But first, I want to hear another song from the band. What have you got for us next?
Well, the first one we opened up with was something written by one of my favorite trumpeters, Freddie Hubbard, and we're going to do something now reflective of the story that I just told you, and it's entitled Everything Happens to Me.
Terrell Stafford, live in the studios on KPLU. That's Phil Sparks at the bass, Randy Halberstadt piano. So, Terrell, we were talking about your own misfortunes as a student, but you've become quite an important member of the jazz education world. And I wonder how you got into being a teacher.
Well, my parents, you know, when I was younger, they said, you know, you play trumpet okay, but you need a backup. So they had me as an undergrad. I was a music education major, and then they had me get a minor in computers, and they had me get a minor in math. Mm-hmm. So I tutored at trigonometry. That helped me get through my undergraduate years. And then after I finished my very last year of college, my trumpet teacher saw that I didn't play in the center. So he said, if you don't move your embouchure perfectly in the center, you're not going to be able to play trumpet past the age of 25. So the day I graduated, I applied for a job as a computer programmer. And I started doing this job. My parents were like, aren't you going to teach? And I was like, no, I'm not going to teach. And they were like, why aren't you going to teach? I said, in order to teach, you have to be somewhat proficient on your instrument. And I'm not, so I'm not going to teach. And so when I was doing this computer job, a friend of mine brought me to hear Wynton Marsalis. And I went to hear this concert with Wynton playing. He was playing with the Eastman Wind Ensemble. And it was phenomenal. And I was actually moved by his playing, but I was even more moved by the trumpet player. And her name is Yvonne Tall. Mm-hmm. And she was the principal trumpet of the Eastman Wind Ensemble at the time. And I really wanted to go back and meet her because her sound just touched my spirit and soul. But I didn't make it back in time. And so I waited in this line to meet Wynton. And he goes, you know, I want you to go study with my teacher. His name is Professor Fielder. And I studied with Professor Fielder. Long story short, years later, I got the gig. Bill Cosby did a show called You Bet Your Life, and Shirley Scott was the musical director. Mm-hmm. And, on that show, it was Mickey Roker played drums, Arthur Harper played bass, and Tim Moorfield was the tenor saxophonist. And we just would get to burn for like 3 hours. We had three shows a day, and it was the best jam session ever. So one day, Mr. Cosby came to me, and he goes, hey, man, you should consider teaching. And I said, nah, no, absolutely not. And so Shirley Scott said, yeah, I think you should consider teaching. And I said, nope, just want to play. Absolutely not. So there was a point in the show that we were doing that Tim and I were really good friends with the camera guy. And so we'd lean over and get on camera. So every time you get on camera, you get more money. And so, you know, after about 2 months of this, Mr. Cosby comes to me and he goes, so, you know that every time that you lean over and you guys are on camera, you know who has to pay for that, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, what do you think about teaching? I said, I think that's a great idea, I think. So I started teaching at Cheyne University with Shirley Scott, which was incredible. And then the position came up at Temple University. And I applied for that position, and I've been at Temple now for 22 years.
Now, the announcement just came out, I think, yesterday or the day before. Three more Pacific Northwest high schools, Garfield, Roosevelt, Mount Si, all off to the Essentially Ellington competition.
Crazy.
I think the third time in a row for all three of them, and Garfield and Roosevelt over and over again. You've done a lot of work with big bands, mm-hmm. and I wonder, what are the important lessons for young people when they're working with big bands?
I would say the biggest lesson is community, you know, because to play in a group, in a trio like this, you know, there's a certain level of trust. But to play in a big band, I mean, that level of trust just elevates because it's 16 people actually functioning as one. And that's the goal of a big band. So, you know, whether students decide to go on playing music in life, that experience they get in that band just working together as a unit is really important. But then I think a big band teaches, like, as again, we've talked about in classical music, it teaches fundamentals, you know, because in order to play, you know, music from Count Basie, you have to go back and study, you know, what players did when they used a plunger and how do you use a plunger. So there's fundamentals that you have to learn on your instrument in order to play music from that style. And this Essentially Ellington was a great idea that Wynton did personally for me because, you know, it's gotten high school students playing clarinet, different instruments. It's got them listening to music from the 1920s, which they would have never done. And they're learning techniques in the music that they're doing now that they would have never done. And this year is the music of Fletcher Henderson, which is great, you know, honoring like Fletcher Henderson and Benny Goodman. So a lot of bands are playing that music this year, and the groups are swinging. So, you know, there's a lot of great stuff that the big band can really show you. And it's in some ways, folks say that the big band is a dying art, but I really don't believe that. You know, there's no other group you can play in as a professional or as a student that brings about community, that represents so many eras of great music. So, you know, go on, Seattle Jazz Repertory Orchestra. Bring it!
Terrell Stafford's playing with SRJO, and he's got a great Lee Morgan tribute record. I think you're going to be playing a lot of Lee Morgan tunes with the band. Brother Lee Love is the name of it. Why Lee Morgan? What fascinated you about Lee's playing?
Well, you know, when I was transitioning from classical to jazz, Kenny Barron, of course, from Philadelphia. And, you know, he would talk to me about Lee Morgan. And then when I would play with Shirley Scott, she would talk to me about Lee Morgan. And so I remember when I started to play with her group, she says, you know, Terrell, your articulation is very mushy. It's very mushy. And I was like, wow. I said, Shirley, how do you know so much about the trumpet? And she goes, well, you know, I've always wanted to play the trumpet, and I had a trumpet. My dad said that trumpet wasn't for girls. So he made me play the piano, and that's why I play organ. He goes, but I can hear your articulation is mushy. And I said, so what do you think I should do about it? And she goes, you should listen to Lee Morgan, because Lee Morgan loved marches. You know, that was his thing. He and Clifford Brown had that in common. They loved marches. So they were great, had great double tongue and great triple tonguing, and their articulation was just snap, crackle, and pop. And she goes, you know, when you play the trumpet, you should think about spinning. I should hear firecrackers. And so we would do the gigs, you know, whatever gigs we would do. And after the gig, I'd say, was it better? She goes, nope, it's too mushy still. So she was on me. Finally, one gig, she's like, that's it. And she goes, where did you get that? I said, I was listening to a lot of Lee Morgan. She goes, well, keep that. She goes, because articulation defines how you are, who you are as a player. You know, people, when you speak, they can really hear the quality of your voice and hear your articulation, how you speak, and playing music in general is the same thing. Your articulation defines who you are. So she told me, you know, work on your articulation so when someone hears two notes, they can say, that's Terrell Stafford. So
learn about trumpet from an organ player.
That's it, man.
Terrell Stafford's live in the studios here at KPLU. Phil Sparks bass, Randy Halberstadt piano. We've got time for one more song. What would you like to finish with, Terrell?
We're going to finish with I'll Remember April.
Ah, beautiful.
For my other trumpet mentor, Clifford Brown.
All right.